Did Philip use my, this is my Bible? Did he steal that? He asked me if he could steal that this morning. But he don't do it good as I do, does he? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can give enough for furniture. I can learn what it says I can learn. And I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. How many remembers our text? It's in Romans, the 12th chapter. Turn there. We're going to look at it again. And the reason we're reading this every Sunday is because I want it to get inside of us to be transformed when this series is over. And like I said, next week we're going to look at the joy side of it. I don't think we celebrate enough, do you? In fact, I'm coaching a pastor here in town in his congregation, and I said, how do you celebrate? He said, celebrate what? I said, well, whatever victories you have, how do you normally do that? He said, well, we don't really. And I said, well, what's some of this? He said, for example, I said, well, you support missions? Well, yeah, we do, and we support this. I said, well, how do you celebrate that? Well, we don't really. And I thought, well, isn't that odd that we do things for the kingdom and not celebrate, or if we win somebody? I like to hear testimonies. You know, people come in and testify, and you've won your neighbor, or you've got a healing, or whatever. Just to celebrate the every day, you know, to celebrate something. God came through with a bonus, or God healed me. You know, whatever it might be, there's always something to celebrate and look for the good of it. And so we'll kind of get into that next week, because I think it's so important. And it keeps us from stressing, doesn't it? It's hard to... You ever see a cheerleader cheerleading the game, and they're just like, oh, God, you know, go team, go, you know. No, they're just, you know, boy, they're up to fight and win. And so being like a cheerleader for Christ, you know, where we can celebrate and rejoice. But we need to get transformed. And I've noticed a lot of the stress when I'll just be honest with you, whenever I called Mom this past week and she was in bed and she said, I'm just laying here, and family said, she can't get out of bed. That's how sick she is. It really done a number on my mind and my heart, more than I thought it would. And and we share with Donna and Millie and some of you with your moms, you know, that's going through similar things. And how it's just stressful, you know, because you love them and you hate to see it. And there's nothing you can do for them except for pray. And so I call and just my mom and just, you know, administer 12 cc's to prayer. I just say, can I pray over your mom? She'll say, yeah, I'd love that. So just praying over. And that's the best thing you can do for your mom or whoever it is that, you know, you love and they're sick. But it's stressful sometimes. But to learn how to rejoice, because how many knows God said in the end, we're going to win. We're going to win. And so he says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That means that whatever, and the whole theme of this series is is to make Jesus king over every area. How many knows when I'm stressing, God is not king and lord over that area. I'm saying to Him, I want that back. I want to stress over this. Leave me alone, huh? And so, If that's my case, then I need to recognize that that's not a transforming thing, is it? That, I'm not a living sacrifice, because now I'm being consumed with something that Jesus said is not a part of what He's gave me. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you what? Rest. My yoke is what? Easy. Yeah, burdens is light. And so when we're taking this stress on, and so that's what I had to realize, and I had to do I watched a comic. We watched a funny movie Friday night, and I said, you know, just keep it light. And I listened to music that I want to listen to, and done some things to say that this is, let's have some celebration time, if you will. So to be transformed means whatever this says, I'm supposed to look like this, you know. To become a living sacrifice. In other words, I don't do my own commands anymore. I do what my master has commanded me to do. And what does that look like? To figure out what it looks like. One of the things I thought about was, you know what, if you're not sure what you don't look like Christ in, here's a good thing to practice. Just get some scripture each week, each day, and apply a little bit of that to your heart, and it'll just root out that stuff that's there. That doesn't look Christ-like. I think people that get in the Bible, and I'm not big on formulas, but people get in the Scripture and study Scripture. To me, whatever you are and whatever God's called you to be, it just surfaces. Because now you've got the knowledge. This, how many knows this is our fuel for living a Christian life, a godly life? And how many knows we're an information society, so we get a lot of information that's not exciting, it's not happy. How many watched Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution? He went into a town, in a happy town, you know, and boy, they're mad because he's saying you're eating stuff that's killing you, and they're saying, don't tell us that. That's the way we are about the Word, you know. Don't tell me to love my enemies. I'll hate them if I want to. Don't tell me not to stress. It's my right. I can stress if I want to stress. You hear me? I'm a stressful person. You understand? Well, I'm just saying, God said don't do that. That's not what He... I've come to give you life and give you life what? More abundantly. Yeah. Abundant life. You know how you find abundant life? This morning, Joanne texted me the other day and she said, I'd like to send out some letters to people. And I thought, well, what a God-honoring request of people that have come to church here in the past or whomever I could just send. And so Eric made up those little cards and he made up about 50 just for people that have come by in the past or is out of church. What? And we're going to send them one of those. And I said, well, there you go. So I brought her in that sack of cards this morning and said, I got your request and here's what you can do. And so she's going to label them and sample them and send them out this week. And you know what she told me a while ago when she came by and we did the meet and greet? She said, you just blessed my heart. Yes. I thought, well, I'll give you more work next week. Yeah. Why would that bless somebody's heart? Because now you're reaching out and you're doing what God said. You're doing the second thing He commanded, love others as yourself. See? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. And so you're doing that. And that's what blessed your heart. It's not the extra time. Everybody's got a schedule, right? But what blessed her heart was saying, I have a burden to do something, I have a burden to reach out, and you give me an opportunity to reach out. Children's Church. Do you see that on the board? That needs somebody to rotate, to come and deposit God's Word in the children's heart on a rotation basis. Listen, if you've got a call in that area, you need to volunteer for that. And you say, well, I'm not qualified, or I don't know if I can do it. Well, just go see. And they'll train you, and they'll help you, and they'll watch you and stay with you as long as you need. But what will happen is, you will feel significant, and it'll do more for you than it'll do for the children. But it's a win-win, because that's your part in what God calls you to do. That's what a living sacrifice looks like. We had a lady come in this morning and she was stressed and she had needs and her name was Anna and she came in wanting to sell us some stuff and little cross things she had crocheted and we're getting ready. We've been in there discussing prayer needs and she interrupts our prayer time and that's okay. And I said, can we help? And she said, I'm here and I'm selling these things and I went to a church and they just put me down and got on my case, and I'm following the will of God, and I'm, you know, and started taking up for herself. And I said, Anna, would sit down, we'll pray for you. And well, we prayed over Anna, and I said, but we're not buying anything today. This is not a time we buy. We all got up early too, and we're all here to hold up this service before it happens today in prayer. And so today we're going to pray over you, and if you want to pray and stay, you can stay and pray, but we're not buying anything in this session. This session is for God and for the saints, and we're lifting them up. And so she let us pray over her, and then she took off. I said, Jan, was that okay? I'm trying to get some feedback because I thought, you know, I felt sorry for her, but this is the time. And the Holy Sacrifice says, you know what? We're not here to set our own schedule. We're here. We got up early, a few of us, to come and lift up this service and pray for you and pray for needs. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're not buying. We're not selling. We're coming in here to do this. And so we prayed for her and she went away and we asked her. And she, you know what she said? I said, you ought to stay for church again. She said, well, you know, I used to be in church and now I'm out. And boy, that was a good time in my life. I said, Anna, that's the best time in your life. Because it's the fourth commandment. And when you're obeying God's Word, you're going to be blessed. And you be blessed as you go sell and use your skill. And we thank God for her skills and what she's doing. But you know what? We can't just do part of it and get the whole blessing. We have to become a what? A living sacrifice. whether it's Anna not wanting to get up and go to church and serve God, and then trying to, in a desperate attempt to peddle something on Sunday morning or whatever it is. I'm telling you, all of us need to become a living sacrifice, and the reason we need to become a living sacrifice is that's where you find life. We think we find it in abundance and more stuff and more money and bigger checks and all that stuff, and as our elder quotes that on Sunday mornings, and I'm real comfortable with everything but finding money, and I don't know why it bothers me. And I'm sure if I found a $100 bill blowing across my yard, I'd say, "Woo!" and run right after it. Yeah. But I just want to become a living sacrifice. So it's not in stuff, but it's just in getting up and serving God and saying, "What do you have on your schedule today that you want me to do?" Because I know if I find that, I'm going to be a happy camper. A living sacrifice. He said, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. Everybody say reasonable. It's reasonable. You know, sending out a little mailer to your friends that you're trying to reach for Christ, how many knows that's reasonable? It's your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. Praying for each other, loving each other, it's reasonable. And do not be conformed to this world. And that's where we really have a problem, is it? There's so much going on that we can be transformed to. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's where it leads to. A holy sacrifice leads to knowing what the perfect will of God is, and the perfect will of God goes to the blessings in abundance. How many knows when Jesus walked this earth, He was blessed abundantly? And it's because He always knew what the Father's will was. He was that living sacrifice that the Bible's talking about here. And then our other verse, I've just written it down at the top here. We read every week, but Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. So guard your heart. How many knows it's a heart issue? Now, week one, we talked about, remember, here's life. The life is about events that happen to you. How many knows events happened this week? Vernon's mom had a heart attack. 98% blockage, 99% whatever it was. They got it cleared out and she's better. Guess where she was when she had a heart attack? At the hospital. Visiting a friend. How many said, "Now that good deed didn't go unseen"? That's the place. If you're going to have a heart attack, the best place to have it probably is the hospital. Evelyn said church. You know, she thought she made it church. And that would be the second best place. I'd rather be at the hospital, I think, than, you know, I could call you and have you pray, and the doctors know what to do. Kind of like the guy says, when he's going into surgery, he said, I want a Christian doctor. And I thought, I just want a good doctor. If he's Christians and he made bad grades in med school, I just seem to have somebody that wasn't a little less spiritual work on me. Thank you very much. Just a thought. But it's about the events that happened to you. And so that happened to them this week, and my mom, you know, being sick and ill, that's happened to us this week, and we have family members stressing and calling, and, you know, that's an event that's happened to us this week that's major in our family. And so that's what life is all about. Events are going to happen, and then number two is what we're dealing with. What you think about what happened, that's what really makes it or breaks it. And what you think about what's happened to you. And we dealt with that in the first week. And then the feelings that result is the third thing. And that's what you have to deal with. After the event's done, after everything's already done, and what you think about that event is going to affect how you deal with that. And how you feel about that event. And how much time it consumes in your brain. How many knows if we let negative things consume our brain constantly, we are not under the anointing and the operation of the Holy Spirit. We are under the operation and the anointing of the flesh. Because we're being consumed with worry and stress and doubt that doesn't belong to us, but that's where it's at. It's lodged. And it all stems back from kind of what we believe, our core beliefs. Last week we talked about life experiences, and then the second thing this week we're going to deal with is family, and next week culture. But family is what we wanted to focus on today. And then we talked about, let me just review just a minute here about life experiences. Remember what we said? Life experiences can lie to you. And I gave you an illustration. If you've been attacked by a dog when you were small, you may look at all dogs with great fear. And how many knows all dogs aren't bad? But because of an experience you had, that experience will say, it's a dog, and you get hyper and you get weird, and the dog thinks, whoa, they're weird, and they get weird, and then you're and that confirms your experience that you've had. I have a friend that's a macho. You can call him a macho man. I mean, he loves to fight. If you want to fight, come on, let's go. Yeah, you want to fight? Absolutely, come on. You know, I mean, he's just that kind of, I call it, that's macho and goofy, I think, but, because I'm a lover. You want to fight? Not really. I'll hit back if you hit me, but that's about it, I really don't want to fight. You might break my pretty face or something, Growing up, I never fought. We in our men's ministry on Wednesday night, that's been awesome. I appreciate our guys and what we're learning on Wednesday night. It's been good for me. And so I appreciate that in your heart and opening up. But we're talking about your first fight this last Wednesday. And so Jim, he was here, and he said, we're going to go celebrate with my sister. And she's back, and her sister-in-law, I guess it was, and from military. And we're going to go celebrate. So we won't be here. And I said, well, you're going to miss it. We're going to talk about our first fight. He said, I never had one. I never had a fist fight either growing up. You may think that's odd. I had one kid one time when I was in junior high, starting with high school, whenever it was. But anyway, he got mad at me. And he takes a swing at me. I go like that and go, bam, and I hit him in the chest with my palm of my hand and knocked him down. So I said, don't do that. That's the closest I ever come to a fight. Because I thought, I don't want to hit you. I don't want to, I don't want to fight. Well, now we used to go out to the clubs. That was B.C., we'd go out dancing and stuff, and drunks, they're always trying to, and I'd see them, and I'd think, oh man, come on, we're here to party. I never wanted to fight. I never did. Never did. But whatever kind of experience, but my friend, he loves it, but when it comes to horses, he hates horses. He wouldn't give you a quarter for a horse. A quarter horse. That was just, but he wouldn't. I mean, he hates horses, and here's why: it's because he loves to be in a situation where he can be in control. And how many knows there are a lot of situations in your life and my life we are not in control. You may think when you get in your car and leave here and you're on the interstate you are in control, but you're only in control. You're only in control as long as everybody around you leaves you alone and nothing happens to your car. People die in those things every day. And so, he don't like to travel to other countries because he's not in control as much as he is as a citizen here in his own country. So his scope is very limited in what he can do and where he can be and who he can see because he wants to be in control. And if that sounds like you, then you need to get over that and go beyond that because there's a lot of things you just can't control. I mean, notice when you come to church, you can't control the music. You can gripe, but you can't control. She can control because she's got the power. Thermostat. You can't control the thermostat when you come to church. It's freezing in here. Well, wear your coat, dummy. It's hot in here. We'll get you a fan. I don't know. There's things you can't control, and so we gripe about it. And all I'm saying is there's just areas you can't control. So the best thing we can do is just say, you know what, I don't have control over this, but I do have control over my attitude and my thinking. Are you with me? You can control that. And so that's just life experience. I heard a terrible joke I want to share with you. It's not Easter yet. It's not Holy Week yet. The doctor comes in to his patient and says, I got some bad news and worse news. The guy says, well, good Lord. What's that about? He said, well, just give me the bad news first. He said, well, the bad news is you've got 24 hours to live. He said, well, what could be worse than that? He said, I'm sorry, but I forgot to call you and tell you yesterday. I love that joke. That's a real experience there. That's not a lie. That's a real experience there. And so here's sometimes, how many knows life experiences, if you evaluate your life experiences according to this, your life experiences is one of the greatest tools that God gives to you. Listen to me. If you evaluate your life experiences through this, your life experiences is one of the greatest tools that God gives to you. You know, when you battle with somebody, and today we're talking about family, and beyond, there's three things that's going to really help shape your core beliefs. One's life experiences. We talked about this week, it's family. And family will help you. And I think it's the greatest key and if they're not mom or dad, if you didn't have mom or dad, but whoever was influencing you growing up, some grandparents are raising their grandchildren and all, but whoever was influencing you, when you had experiences, life experiences, those individuals around you that you watched respond to those events, those people are going to affect you more than anyone else on the planet, I believe. Now, if you didn't have that, you had a rough go because you had to figure all that out on your own. But I had great parents and still have great parents. And they're not without their faults and flaws. But here's what I know. Because I loved them and admired them, I picked up a lot of their traits. Now, listen to me, parents. Here's why you want to have the best rapport with your children that you can have. It's because if they love you and adore you, they'll pick up a lot of your traits. The bad news is they'll pick up a lot of your bad traits. So it's not a free ride, even if they love you and adore you. But here's what I know. If they despise you, they'll pick up very few of your traits because they don't want anything that you and I have. And so it's our part is to say, I may have to discipline you, but I will discipline you with love, and you will know it. You will know why we're doing what we're doing, because I love you. If I didn't love you, and I bet I told my son that I don't know how many times growing up. He's an average teenage, well, he was a teenage boy. And I said, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't mess with you right now. But you know I love you, and so I can't let this slide. Over and over and over, you know, tell him that. But I just thought it was important for me to tell him. At 16, he got testy with his mother, and he was driving, and pretty independent. That's the way I was. I was very independent when I was young. He picked up those traits from me, and very independent. And I remember him getting real testy with his mother, and I looked at him, and I said, son, you don't talk to your mother that way. We don't talk like that to anybody in this house. And if you don't like the way we live in this house, there's the front door. You can go find your own way. I remember Summer's little, she started crying. Go to your room. This is a daddy moment. And I've had people say, what if you left? What would you have done? I don't know. I didn't have to. I didn't get that far. But I'm telling you, it done something for my son. I said, listen, I love you, but no one acts like that in this house. I don't act like that towards your mother. She don't act like that towards you. We don't act like that in this house. Because we're trying to serve God, and God is blessing our home. And He can't bless if we act like that. And boy, you talk about it. I mean, I got under the hood and did an attitude adjustment. It was good. And we're still living happily ever after. Good relationship with my son and all. But I'm telling you, family, you know, what they did and didn't do, and then maybe some of your parents made stupid mistakes with you and hurt you and all, it goes with you for life. My dad is 87 years old. And a couple of weeks ago, Jan and I took him some medical supplies from her home health care that they're part of her supply. And so we just hand-delivered so she could get them quicker for the weekend. And so we took them down and we were sitting there visiting. I'd never heard this from my dad before, ever. 87 years old and he's still carrying this today. And we were talking about the garden and all this stuff. And it got off on working and all, and we're talking about family, and I'd mentioned to Dad about our men's group, and I said, I just want to tell you thank you for being a great dad. I never until this series I never really grasped fully what I had and then Mother made a statement. She said, you know, he thought his dad really didn't care for him growing up. And I knew my Grandpa Eldred and loving guy, and I never picked up one thing of that ever in my life. Growing up around my grandfather, and he died probably when I was late teens, early 20s. But And the only reason he died is because my grandmother went home to be with Jesus, and about 30 days later he had grieved himself to death because he was still building big gardens up until that time, but he just couldn't survive without her. I mean, they were that close. But I said, really? You thought? He said, my dad says, I don't know what, he just had something against me. And you got to understand, back in that day, they didn't talk as much as we talk today. We kind of tell everything, you know. And hopefully you tell everything to the right person. Because if you tell the wrong thing to the wrong person, it's worse. Because they can't wait to go tell somebody else. But I never knew that about my dad. And I learned something else. And I thought, this is the power of family. And this is how it carries over. He said, when I was about 5, 6 years old, he said he never got a new pair of shoes. Now, they grew up they were poor, and there were 5 or 6 girls and 3 boys, and he was the middle child. And he said, I never got a new pair of shoes. The older one got a new pair of shoes, and the little one, because he was much smaller, got a new pair. I never got a new pair of shoes. I'm sitting in my dad's living room. He lifts up a pair of work boots beside his recliner and said, see these boots? $140. Got them on sale for, I don't know, 100 and something. When I was 5 or 6 years old, he said, I said, I will never wear cheap shoes when I get to where I can afford nice shoes. From 5 or 6. Now, that's family thing. That's a family thing that I never knew that he's carried around for over 80 years in his head and his heart. Thinking, and the main thing I hate about it is that, and I wish his dad was alive now so I could just, you know, get that out of his head, because I know his dad loved him. But he said, I never got, and sometimes when I would get hand-me-down shoes, they'd already have a hole in them. I thought, wow. You never know why people, and I always thought, you know, Dad, they kept us in nice clothes and nice boots and shoes or whatever, was, you know, we was cowboys and we had nice cowboy boots. But I never knew. But every time we went to the store to purchase shoes, I'm sure that was on his mind to not give him a good pair. You know why he thought that? Because family. Because he felt abused from his dad in that area. That's how powerful family is. From 5 years old to after 80 years old, it's still... And then let me tell you something really cute about Dad. Dad loves the garden and stuff, but he hates wiping his boots off, you know, or pulling his boots off before he comes in the house. And so he tries to buy, like, slick-bottom boots, you know. And so the Red Wings didn't have any slick-bottom boots. Guess what he was doing? He's cutting the tread off with his pocket knife. Don't tell him I told you that, okay? Now, he was really kind of proud of it. I thought, you could be a redneck if you pull your cut the tread off, you know, like Jeff Foster. But he holds his boot up, he says, and sure enough, man, he slicked this one off in the heel, and then he's got all the heel off in the other one, and he's starting on the foot on the other one. He said, man, but it's getting tough to cut that stuff off. And I thought, I don't know why, you know, that's probably another family matter I'll have to check into. But it was a precious moment, except for I hated the fact that he thought for over 80 years that his dad didn't love him, because one of the things was he never got new shoes. And here's what I know. Sometimes you and I look at each other in our family settings and we think, you know, Mom and Dad favored them because. And, well, I didn't get to do that because I was a girl. And the boy thinks, well, I didn't get to do that because they was always sweet on her. You know, there's family times that we're just going to think, and it's part of that experience that I'm telling you is going to lie to you. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. If it's a negative thought about your family, that's exactly where Satan wants you to be, and that's where he wants you to stay, is thinking something negative about your family. Some of you have had negative thoughts about me. I know, I heard it through the grapevine. I got snitches all over the church. Usually I hear it because you come tell me. And I love you, by the way. The ones that just come and cowboy up and tell me, I appreciate you so much. It's you whiners that I just... Because I can't help you if you don't tell me. I can't help you. And I got big shoulders. You can come tell me anything you want to tell me. Because I'll just look at you and I'll think, really, well, they're having a bad day, aren't they? Because I don't make you about me. That's why. Not that I don't love you. Not that I wouldn't take what you're saying to me and try to figure it out, you know, what part's truth and what part's not. And what part's... How many knows anytime you're talking to somebody and you've got some little vendetta about someone, it's gonna grow. The devil's gonna help us rehearse it until it gets bigger than it really is. That's part of his arson. That's part of his toolbox. Is to help you be in pit against somebody else because they done you wrong or they didn't do this or this is, you know, they treated me or my work or my family or life or... That's his part, is to exaggerate all this stuff. Just the way it is. Let me show you something. Go with me to Matthew 25. How many knows we're family? You know, we are family. Whether you claim us or not, we're your family. Whether you're happy with us or not, we're your family. And this is a family event. But whether it's your physical family, your church family, you know, whoever it is, we're family. And so I think this is a picture of church family. How many knows we call Him Lord and Savior and Master? We may call Him Father. You know, that's what Jesus taught us to call Him, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. And so He taught us to have that kind of relationship. But how many knows He is Master? He's a loving Father, but He's our Master. And so I think this is a picture of us and our Heavenly Father, is what I believe. And it even starts in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like... For the kingdom of heaven is like this. When He's looking at you and He's looking at me, and this is the kingdom of heaven's like a man traveling to a far country. You know, how many knows He came to earth and who called His own servants and delivered His goods to them? How many knows He delivered His goods to us? That's why He said, I've come to give you peace. That's why I've come to give you salvation. I've come to give you a lighter burden. I've come to give you, and He left all this stuff for us because we're family. And we're His kids and we matter to Him. And He said that He delivered His own goods to them, and to the one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, to each one, according to His own ability. In other words, the Master... How many knows God knows you better than you know you? And He knows exactly what to give you when you need it. I'm assuming Joanne was praying one day and she said, you know what, this is what I would like to do. And without knowing what we had planned for Easter, but what a timely thing. The Father spoke to you because He knows you have a talent and He's going to use your talent to send out these cards. One day, Marlene was praying and she discovered she could bake banana nut bread for visitors. And all the visitors that tasted her banana nut bread and my granddaughter Addie said, Hallelujah! Addie still... cons her out of banana nut bread. Can I have one, Kenna? So she's been a visitor 17 times here. You a visitor? Yep. He gave according to each their own ability, and immediately He went on a journey. How many knows Jesus left us and he said, occupy till I come, and He left us. I'm still aggravated about that, aren't you? He left us. I come like a little girl that in this thunderstorm said, you know, Jesus is with you, honey. Well, I need somebody with skin on right now. How many of there are times you just say, you need to come. You need to come and sit down here with me and talk with me. But He left and he said, then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Isn't that something? He gave him 5 and he went and produced 5. It's not a coincidence. He left him this and this is what he produced. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. Isn't that something? He gained 2 more, just like He had left him. How many knows Jesus knows exactly what to give you, and if you'll be faithful over what He's given you, you'll produce in that same quantity. Because He knows you. He gifted you. He wired you. He knows everything about you. And so if you'll use what God's given you, there's great abundance and blessing, and everything comes into play. And you're a happy camper. But he who received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. How many has ever dug a hole in the ground and buried something? How many knows it takes a lot of effort to do that? Yeah. I've got relatives that bury money in their backyard. I'm going to go Easter egg hunting there someday. No. Isn't that something? They do. It's bury money in their backyard. I thought, wow. But it takes effort. And then here's what happens. You know what? God gives us talents, and you know what some of us do with their talents? We just bury them. Oh, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not even good at that, you know. Yeah, but you've got some talents, don't you? Yeah, but and you just bury them in the ground. Nobody cares, you know, whatever. Well, you know, we have all these excuses, and then we wonder why we're not finding the abundant life. It's because we're so busy doing this stuff and all these things because we buried our talent. Now we're just running around wondering what's life about and how where's fulfillment at and all this kind of stuff. And God said, well, I gave you some talent and I gave you something to work with here that would bring you significance and make you feel like a vital part, but you just put it under the ground and hid it. And that's why you wonder, is this all there is to life? Well, no. Pick up your talents and use them for Jesus and find life and find it abundantly. He said, take up your cross and follow me and die to self and you'll find life and you'll find it abundantly. Well, I'm too busy to pick up my cross. Well, then you're too busy to experience abundant life. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled his accounts. How many know settling day is coming someday? And all God says is, just use what I left you. Just use the talent that I gave you. And he says, so he went and received 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. I've gained 5 more besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Used them all. Used them all. I used to envy people that had so many more talents than me, but I don't anymore. I think, you know what? Just be proud of the talent God gave you and use that. And be happy. And if somebody's, you know, that's a lot more talented than you are, just praise God. You don't have all the talents that you have to be working on all the time. You just work on your 1 or 2 that you have. And do it well. Because he says, and he who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said, well done. Just like he did with a guy with 5. Well done. Good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you. And here's the key. God will make you things that you don't think you could ever become when you'll just use what he's given you. You're struggling with something? Just take what God's given you and use that and talk about that and profess that and ride on that one and work on that one and watch what you can't do. Watch it come to pass. Watch the stress fall off and the joy come in and the hope come alive. Because you're using what you got for the glory of God. Then he had received 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Remember what life experiences will do? They'll lie to you, won't they? I knew you to be a hard man. Huh? Does this look like a hard man to this point? Somebody that will bless them and make them more than what they are because they've used what they've had? Does that look like a hard man to you this far? It's not, is it? That's not who he is. But he is to this man because this is what life experience has told him and this is what he's chose to follow. Listen, church, it's really important you grab a hold of this because we can become like this one man. It says, I had 1 talent and I knew you'd be a hard man reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid. Now he comes. I was afraid. Here comes the real truth. He's being truthful for a minute. I was afraid. You ever been afraid to use your talents? Now, let me tell you, no one in here has been more afraid than me to use your talents when God began to call me to preach and teach and sing and do what I do. No one. I don't care. Because, you know, I'd get like throw up sick. Scared. Nervous. But I did it anyway. And when you do it anyway, it just gets easier. Because God begins to make you what you're not. Just like He did with the other two. He said, you hid your talent in the ground and looked there, what is yours? He said, but you But his Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you also have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. How many, let me ask you something. You think it's easier if I said, I'm going to give you a bunch of money and I want you to either go dig a hole in the ground and bury it or go deposit it? Which one would you choose? Why? It's easier, isn't it? But we'll go to more trouble not to use God's gift and stressing out and digging holes and saying why we can't than just going out and just trying to lay up a deposit somewhere. Am I preaching you happy? You don't seem happy. Come on! I'm trying to get us to the tunnel where we see light and we can have the life we've always wanted. By just saying, I don't know, this is what God's given me. He's given me this little talent and I'm going to get up and use it. Wasn't it refreshing to set this morning and just hear them sing? You know, sometimes it's just refreshing, isn't it? And so all the rest of you got up in the band and the singers and used your talents and she just got to sit and rest a little bit this morning. We're cutting her pay, but you know, hey. We cut it in half. You wouldn't care, would it? But I'm so glad people use their talents. You know, and if I go off on a trip or if I'm, you know, got something to do or something, other people preach and use their talents, and then people send out cards and people plant flowers and people will mow and people will teach and people will sing and people will watch babies and people will cook meals and all this stuff. We're just using our talents for the Lord. And He's saying, well done, good and faithful servant. You made a deposit this week. Well done. Enter into my joy and I'm going to give you strength to overcome. And we wonder, and we call them people lucky. They are so lucky. No, they're so blessed because they're just making little deposits every week to the so they can draw interest and so their Lord will be happy and so they'll have a fulfilled and happy life. And they're not so busy, caught up in stuff that they don't have time to just use your talents for whatever that is for Jesus Christ and then finding life at the end of the week, end of the day. Because they've made those deposits. They've used it for Christ. How many knows one of the greatest things He's asked us to do this week is just to love our neighbor, whoever that neighbor is. This is going to sound so shallow, but one of my greatest transformations I'm trying to make in this series is to be a good driver, just where I can enjoy my drive. I'm tired of giving my joy away when I drive. I know that sounds shallow. I know it does, but and it goes back to patience. My wife said, "You're such impatient person." I said, "I mean, I'm not." I said, "Yes, okay, I am." I want to enjoy my drive. I want to quit giving my joy away to other drivers. I don't care how stupid they are. I do. I know that's shallow, but that's one of my goals in this series is to say when I get through with this, I want to be able to enjoy my drive. I don't care where I'm at and what kind of traffic jam or what kind of dummies in front of me doing what. I want to enjoy my drive. That is my goal for this series. One of them. How many just says, I need to join you? Come on, be honest. You can join me. Ooh, look at all you guys and girls. Wow. I hit on something here, didn't I? And I'm telling you, they can only rob us of our joy when we're driving if we give it away. I surrender all. Listen, you ought to have deposited my money at the bankers. And I would have been happy with that. Been less effort, less stress, but you know what? You didn't even do that. You operated out of fear and you done what you wanted to do and you took the fearful way out. And that's what we do a lot of times, church. That's what we do. And here's how I know, because we start blaming other people. You're not this for me and you're not there and you're not this and they didn't do this and my work don't do this and my kids don't do it, my husband, my wife. And we just begin to blame and because of all of our stress and stuff is on somebody else. We're just like this man. We're operating out of fear, not just saying, God, you've given me enough to have a happy attitude and a bright future by just giving me your son, giving me the anointing of Jesus Christ. And so we're a lot like this man. I'm like this man when it comes to driving, and I don't want to be that man anymore. I want to enjoy my drive. And I'm working on it. He says, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. I don't want somebody that's got 10 talents getting what little joy I do have left. I want to increase it in every area of my life. For everyone who has, more will be given. If you've got it, he said, it's just going to keep coming. If you're working the plan that God left you, he said, just expect blessing. How many just say, I'm just going to expect blessing in the name of you? I'm going to work his plan and expect blessing. Yeah. That's what he left for. And it says, and then cast him, this unprofitable servant, into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I've run out of time, so I don't have time to give you the verse, but I want you to own your own time this week. Just go to Galatians. That's our scripture. Galatians 5. And just write it down if you want to. But look at verse 1 and then around 14 through the end of the chapter. And that's our scripture to look at. If you want to be free, first verse says, you know what? Don't be entangled again from the liberty that you had. In other words, God come and give us liberty. Now, it's up to us not to get entangled again in all the systems and the mess and the stress and all the stuff. Remember how freeing it was when you first received Jesus Christ? Woo! It's good stuff, man. Woo! I'm free. Woo! How you doing? I'm a Christian. I'm free. Woo! About 3 months later, woo! I'm a Christian. Woo! Woo! Gee, woo! About 2 years into Christianity, when I really started serving Jesus, and me and Jana was having some rough transition time. I was like, woo wee. This Christian stuff's hard on a marriage, isn't it? Woo. And it wasn't that. It's just we're trying to find our place and how we operate according to this. And we were way out of line with this, and so it took some time to get back in line with this so we could plane off and be who we're supposed to be. And so if you're having those struggles, I'm telling you, it'll come. Victory will come, but you just have to line up with this and get you some scripture and love her like God told you to love her, guys, and to submit and to honor him just like God told you to. And he just knew, ladies, that it would be, you're loving already. He knew you'd be loving already. That's not your problem. Your problem is to submit to him when he's not. And so he says, just do some of that submitting stuff and love him and honor him in that mess and watch me transform him. Quit trying to transform him. See, those are some things we're working on, okay? And loving her, well, I'd love her if she'd just straighten up. No, you just love her and watch her straighten up. You just watch. You just watch. You just love her. How many ladies say, boy, if my husband just loved me, I'd straighten up. Come on, let me see. Oh, yeah, look at all the building. Let's pray before I get any deeper. Father, thank you. We want to be transformed like you. We're tired of giving our joy away. We're tired of to anybody that passes by in a car, anybody that my family, anybody at church. We're just tired of giving it away. We take responsibility. The joy of the Lord is ours to claim. You gave it to us. We possess it. Abundant life is ours. We just have to stand up and say, I'm going to claim it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to live it. And quit blaming, quit pointing our fingers, and quit giving our joy and our victory away every week to different places. Mine has been driving, and I don't want to do that anymore. I want to enjoy every drive, everywhere I go. And that's my confession. And replace my impatience and whatever else, replace it with scripture and prayer for others and whatever else it takes to make that for me. And I pray over this congregation, Lord, for those that are struggling in an area, maybe it's stress, anxiety, fear, worry, doubt, anger, bitterness, revenge, whatever it might be, I pray that you'll transform us, Lord. Give us scripture like Galatians and Romans 12 that we've studied and different ones. Help us to get that in our heart and our mind and to begin to just focus on that and really be transformed through this series so that we can really and truly say, this is the life I've always wanted. This is it. And I found it through disciplining myself and coming under the God's authority and under the authority of God's Word, and I'm finding it every day more and more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. your assignment this week is to just love on somebody by sending them an Easter invitation saying, would you come be my guest? Would you help me with that this week? And just say, we'll do that. Amen. All minds cleared? Anybody need Jesus in your heart before we dismiss? So, you got to bury your head and pray. No, you don't. You just have to lift your hand and lift your heart. Anybody need Jesus? He's not been Savior and Lord of your life, but you'd like to make Him that today? I've been Lord of my own life. You know, I've said, I'll live like this if I want to live like this. I'll talk like this and think like this and act like this. That's Lord of your own life. Anybody say today, I'd like to make Jesus Lord of my life? While everybody's looking around and everybody's wondering why. Amen. Okay, everybody's good? We'll see you Easter morning or Wednesday night, either one. God bless. Have a great week.